scripture this morning. Will you turn with me in our Bible to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians 5. Now, brothers, about times and dates, we do not need to write to you, for you know very well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. While people are saying peace and safety, destruction will come on them suddenly as labor pains on a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. But you, brothers, are not in darkness so that this day should surprise you like a thief. You are all sons of light and sons of the day. We do not belong in the night or in the darkness. So then, let us not be like others who are asleep, but let us be alert and self-controlled. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be self-controlled, putting on faith and love as a breastplate and the hope of salvation as a helmet. For God did not appoint us to suffer wrath, but to receive salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. He died for us so that whether we are awake or asleep, we may live together with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as, in fact, you are doing. Now, we ask you, brothers, to respect those who work hard among you, who are over you in the Lord and who admonish you. Hold them in the highest regard and love because of their work. Live in peace with each other. And we urge you, brothers, warn those who are idle. Encourage the timid, help the weak, be patient with everyone. Make sure that nobody pays back wrong for wrong, but always try to be kind to each other and to everyone else. Be joyful always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances. For this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. Do not put out the Spirit's fire. Do not treat prophecies with contempt. Test everything. Hold on to the good. Avoid every kind of evil. May God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do it. Brothers, pray for us. Greet all the brothers with a holy kiss. I charge you before the Lord to have this letter read to all the brothers. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Let us turn to Psalm 136, and we'll sing verses 1, 2, and 3.
Thank you.
beloved congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ. 4 weeks ago, we celebrated Thanksgiving, and that's good. It's good to set aside a day in the course of the year to remember and to thank God for the countless blessings that He pours into our lives. But be careful. Don't let that lull you into the idea that that takes care of your responsibility in offering thanks to God. The biblical idea of thanksgiving calls for far more than a day of giving thanks. In fact, it calls for much more than a year of giving thanks. Indeed, it calls for a lifetime of giving thanks. We are told in my text for this morning, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18, give thanks in all circumstances. Or as I like to translate the verse, in everything, give thanks. The Greek text is very simple. It says, en panti eucharistita, which is very simply, in all, give thanks. So whether we think of it as everything or all circumstances, all the time, everywhere, God is seeking our thanksgiving. This little text comes with a big message. And I invite you this morning to join me in giving ear to what it has to say. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. We'll do well to consider, first of all, the will of God, then we'll consider the good that comes our way, and then thirdly, the not so good. According to my text, it's God's will for us to give thanks. It says, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. It is God's will that we give thanks. He commands us in everything to give thanks. And this by no means is the only place in the Bible where we come across this direction. The command you will find in at least 10 times in the book of Psalms, and you'll find it repeated elsewhere in the Word of God, like in the call to worship I used this morning from 1 Chronicles, O give thanks to the Lord, call upon His name, O give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, His mercy endures forever. So Scripture calls us and indeed commands us to give thanks in all circumstances. Psalm 92 tells us it's good to give thanks to the Lord. Now, it's good because it pleases God. It's His will for us, so obviously it has to be good. It's what God wants us to do. But it's also good because it's good for you. Giving thanks is uplifting to the Spirit. Johnson Oatman published a gospel song in 1897 that we used to sing in the church where I grew up that gives a little idea of how giving thanks is good for you. Listen to the first verse. When upon life's billows you are tempest-tossed, when you're discouraged, thinking all is lost, count your many blessings. Name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. And as you think and give thanks for all the blessings that come into our lives, you'll find yourself uplifted, encouraged, and even blessed. Giving thanks, of course, can be done in a number of ways. In the first place, it needs to be done from the heart. Giving thanks should never be the empty mouthing of words. It should come from deep within the heart. Ephesians 6, verse 6 talks about doing the will of God from the heart, and that certainly applies to the giving of thanks. We need to be at heart grateful people. But don't let it go at that. Thanks also needs to be expressed. Luke 17 tells the story of Jesus being met by 10 lepers, and they call out to him, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." And in response, Jesus told them to follow the Old Testament procedure and go show themselves to the priests. And off they went in accordance with Jesus' instructions. And they found themselves cleansed from their leprosy. And one of them, when he saw that he was cleansed, went back to Jesus, fell down on his face, and gave thanks. To which Jesus replied, "Were there not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? There they were, cleansed of leprosy. Couldn't they come and have spoken their thanks to the Lord who had taken such a terrible curse away from them? And the message, of course, is if you're thankful to God for his goodness, say so. That's really one of the reasons we worship together, to praise the Lord and to give thanks to him for all the good things he pours into our lives and to our experiences. And there are, of course, other ways of expressing thanks. We sometimes express thanks by giving gifts. We do this on the human level. I have been able to serve folks at one time or another along the way. They have responded by giving me some gift that's an expression of thanks. Caught me by surprise, but it was much appreciated. It's nice to be thanked. And I have endeavored to do the same thing myself when others have served me. We had a neighbor who for years would look after our property when we were away traveling. And when we came back, we always liked to bring a gift with us to give to him as a way of saying thanks. We appreciate the fact that you have looked after our property when we are gone. As I said, we do this on the human level, but we find it in Scripture where the Lord's people have thanked God by giving gifts. You have the story in Genesis chapter 14 of how God delivered Abram when he had battled the four kings who had captured his nephew Lot. And on his return, Abraham had met up with his fellow Melchizedek, the priest of God. And we're told that Abram gave to the priest a tithe of all. It was how Abram expressed to God his thanks for the deliverance of Abram and Lot in the battle. Jacob vowed to God that if he was pleased to bring Jacob back to his father's house in peace, he, Jacob, would surely give to God a tenth of what he had. So as these patriarchs of old gave to God as an expression of thanks, we can surely express our thanks to God in like fashion by giving to him. I like the way our Heidelberg Catechism is set on the plan that first we are to consider our sin and then appreciate the salvation that is offered to us in Christ, and then express our gratitude by serving God. So the Catechism picks up on this idea of thanksgiving and says our whole life should be a life of service, expressing thanks to God for His goodness to us. A superb way of showing thanks, and I commend to you this teaching of our catechism. So it's important, very important, to give thanks. It pleases God. It's good for you. And God directs us to do so in the text before us. In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Now we need to move along and consider the good things that God brings our way, for which we can give thanks. And seeing that it is the fall season of the year, when our harvest is gathered in, we can thank God, as we do Thanksgiving Day, for the crops that He gives. The farmer knows that without the blessing of God, there won't be a crop. They plow their fields and scatter the good seed on the ground, but unless God is pleased to send His rain and water, there won't be any crop. We have stories of years like that coming out of the dirty 30s when there was no crop. And it reminds us, yes, we're dependent upon God's blessing for our crops, and it doesn't matter what our crop should be. It could be wheat, oats, barley, potatoes, carrots, beans, apples, cherries, peaches, any crop. And to this list we can go down the food chain and think about beef and pork and eggs and so on. And we're dependent upon God for all these good things. And yes, I'm sure we thank God for them on Thanksgiving Day, but we can be thanking God for them all the time, in all circumstances. And I do trust that all of us maintain the practice of offering our thanks to God before every meal. And we can't stop there. We all came happily clothed and in our right minds this morning. We're among the best dressed people on earth. And God knows we need to be clothed, and He sees that our clothing is provided. And to clothing we can add shelter. We live in rather large, fine homes in this country, and we can be thankful for them. I remember the first trip that Mary and I made to Holland. We stayed in a lot of rather small homes when we were there. And it made me realize just the homes we have here, how blessed we are. And we can thank God for our homes. And then to all of this, we can add opportunities for education, for health care, transportation, communication, technology. Our lives are crammed full of good things, and we have so much for which we can offer our thanks to the Lord. Just take a moment and think of the folks in Afghanistan or Syria who are so desperate to get out of the country. We have any idea how blessed we are to live in a country such as Canada? We ought to be the most thankful people on earth. And somewhere along the way, I should pause to give thanks for life itself. 14 years ago this week that I came home from Kelowna General Hospital having had a cancerous tumor removed from my head. That was the day I started to give thanks to God regularly that I was still alive. We take life itself for granted so much, it sometimes takes a real scare to slow us down. Yes, Lord, thank you, I'm alive today. And then I still haven't got around to the spiritual dimension of our lives. We can start with the pardon of our sins, and we need pardon for sins regularly. Better still, there is the righteousness of Jesus granted to us, to our credit, when we come to him in repentance and faith. There's the strength we're granted for the journey. There's the gift of everlasting life. And I'll end this list for the gift that God has given to us of his only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul writes in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 15, thanks be to God for his unspeakable gift. God has loved us, and as Peter observes, he's given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. 2 Peter 1, verse 3. There's simply no end to God's goodness, and we can thank him for it all. But now I want to move on and talk to you about the not so good. The text says, in everything give thanks. And when everything's going well, of course we can see the point. But suppose things aren't going so well. Suppose your situation at the moment is just plain bad. Things aren't working out for you the way you had planned. In fact, there's every evidence that things are going against you. And you ask, are we expected to give thanks in circumstances that are difficult? Can the text really mean that? Well, before you dismiss the idea, let me give you one or two things to think about. The letter in which this text appears was written to the church at Thessalonica. And things weren't going so good for the church at Thessalonica at this particular time. In fact, the church was going through a time of really severe persecution. The constant experience of these people to whom this letter was written at this time was one of constant hardship and grief. And here they're being called, in everything, give thanks. That's exactly what the text means to say. They say, oh, I can't mean that. That doesn't make any sense. And I must confess, it made no sense to me either when this text was brought to my attention. I'd been going through some difficult time, and I sought out a counselor. He asked me if I'd given thanks and everything, and he asked me to read this text. And it didn't register. What in the world is he getting at? And if life is all just happenstance and chance. I suppose it doesn't make a lot of sense. But that's not the way life is. The counselor that I had sought out, when he saw that I couldn't figure out why he wanted me to be giving thanks, asked me to quote Romans 8:28. Do you know that verse, he says? Oh, I know that verse. Yes, it goes, all things work together for good for those who love God and are called according to his purpose. And God turned a light on in my mind and heart that day. And I began to understand that God is in control of everything that happens in our lives and in our experiences. And you know, if things are rough and difficult at the moment, if God's word is true, that's the way God planned it. Not only did he plan it that way, he planned it for your good. So I went out that afternoon and thanked the Lord for everything I could think of. The good, the bad, the indifferent. And you know what? My life has never been the same since. And that was 61 years ago, October 27th. That was last week. And God has blessed me endlessly. And no end of good has been the result. I had been depressed at the time. My life had been going downhill in a hurry. I was a very unhappy camper. But you can't be bitter and troubled by the things you're thanking the Lord for. It doesn't work. And if you're thankful, the bitterness and the grumpiness has to flee away. And God renewed my life because I started giving thanks. The depression I had been under began to fade. And it wasn't too long till life was getting back to normal. Now, I'm not by any means the first person to have figured out this one, that God is working for good in every situation, and we can thank him for it. Joseph, way back in the first book of the Bible, had some rather rough patches to go through in his life. His brothers rejected him, sold him as a slave, ended up working for Potiphar, and when he didn't please her, she framed him, and he ended up in prison. Not a pleasant experience. But it was God's way of putting Joseph in Pharaoh's attention. And Joseph became the one who prepared Egypt for the coming famine. And these preparations saved all Egypt, saved Joseph's family. And later, when father died and the brothers were worried about what Joseph might do, Joseph told them flat out, "You meant evil against me, but God meant it for good. in order to bring about, as it is this day, to save many people alive. God used the difficult to accomplish his purpose in Joseph's life. And how often does he use the difficult to accomplish his good purposes in our lives? Consider, if you will, the Lord Jesus Christ. He went through some rough spots too. He came to his own, and his own received him not. The religious leaders rejected his teaching, decided to put him to death, took him through a false trial, handed him over to the Romans, who were the pain experts of the day. His disciples turned and fled, and Peter denied he even knew him. The sun hid in the sky, wasn't seen. And he cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? Pretty dark. And yet the Bible also tells us that Jesus, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame. And it's out of the difficult time that the gospel comes, and there's joy in heaven and on earth, and hope for eternity, because what God was accomplishing in the rough places in the life of his son. And what's he accomplishing in the life, in our lives, in the rough places? Sometimes we find out in this world, I can explain some of the things that have happened to me, and some of the things I can't. I have no idea why they happened yet. But if everything works together for good, as Scripture says, then we can give thanks in all circumstances. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. How thankful are you? Hopefully, this has helped us realize how important Thanksgiving is. It's God's will for his people in Christ Jesus. It honors him as well as being good for us. And we have so much good for giving thanks, as well as some other things. It's not ours to figure everything out. It's ours to trust our loving Heavenly Father and to give our thanks to him in all circumstances. Amen. Let us pray. Father, we've met together today to praise you and give thanks. And we've listened to your word, and it's pretty sharp in some ways. Yet, you are working in all things for our good, and we pray that you will help us learn to give thanks in all circumstances. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let us stand together and sing hymn number 84.